I like a small church. Everybody can get to know everybody. Everybody's involved in one another's lives and is there for one another whenever we need each other. I like a large church. There's more resources and opportunities. There's more people to do more work, and we can accomplish more things. And so the argument goes back and forth, back and forth. Small congregation, large congregation. What if we took Jerusalem's approach and instead of making it either or, we made it both and? In Acts chapter 2, as was read to us just a few moments ago, there specifically in, well, let's start in verse 46. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And we can turn the page, maybe two, and get to Acts chapter 5. And we find something similarly stated there in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Here was a congregation that started in its assembly at about 3,000 members. By the time we get into Acts chapter 5, it's possible that they were 10,000 members. We can imagine that their idea of what a large church is and what a small church is might be a little bit different than our ideas. But they weren't just there relating to one another in the assembly. They were spending time with one another in homes. They were spending time with one another from house to house. They were working on that relationship they had together in this large time of worship and praise. But they were also working together with one another in these smaller relationships, making sure that they were connected and encouraging one another on a daily basis from house to house. We've got lots of guests here today. And today, and just kind of the way time worked out, there's a convergence of things that are happening. We're so excited that you guys are here, especially those who are going to be sticking around as you're going to be attending some of the colleges in the area. But we've also got some special things that are kicking off as far as our congregation is concerned. Over the last year and a half, we've struggled to maintain some of these house-to-house relationships that we've been trying to develop and work on. And we've had some folks that are saying, it's time to get it back together. And so, we're going to be kicking off our house-to-house program again. We've got some leaders who are willing to let folks come into their homes and to work together and to grow in those relationships. We've got some people who are willing to be hospitable and allow that to happen. And we've got folks in the congregation that are wanting to get back together in that way. And so today we're going to be opening that up, and I want to talk about that for a moment. And as we talk about that, it's going to be a reminder for some of you. I do want to point out it's been 5 years since you've heard this sermon, for those who have been here that long. And I also have to point out that this concept, I don't know, I heard it from someone else years ago, and I just can't remember, so I can't give credit to him, but I do have to point out. But if you're a guest, I understand I'm going to spend a lot of time trying to convince our members to sign up for our house-to-house program, and you might be saying, oh, that's not about me, I'm going to check out now. But what I want to do is encourage you to stay with us on this, because as I talk to you this morning about the assembly and the living room, I want to encourage you, if you're our guest, to take this idea home with you. Not necessarily our house-to-house program, but if you're going home to a large congregation, I want to encourage you to make sure that you're working on the living room relationships. Whether or not your congregation has a process like we're trying to establish, I want to encourage you, if you're going home to a large congregation, to think in terms of establishing these living room relationships. But on the other hand, if you're going home to a small congregation, I want to encourage you not to be satisfied with that. I want to encourage you to work on growing that assembly and then working on the living room relationships as well. And so I'm going to spend a lot of time pushing our members to the house-to-house program that we're doing. But I really think there's some great principles here for us, no matter what congregation we're a part of and what's going on in your home group. So before I get into all that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Holy God, you are magnificent and awesome. You are worthy of our praise and our adoration, and we do love you. We are so thankful that we get to be your army, and we are so thankful that we get to be your family. And we pray that here at this congregation that you would help us to grow, to draw others into your family, that as we gather together to worship and praise you, as we lift up our voices united in song and in prayer, that we would get a glimpse and a foretaste of the glory that we will experience throughout eternity around your throne, singing together and praising with all your people. And yet at the same time, Father, I pray that you would help us to work on those relationships with one another throughout the week, in living rooms and in kitchens and around coffee tables, that we might encourage one another and challenge one another and provoke one another to love and to good deeds. Help us this morning as we consider these two venues through which we can serve you and bring glory to your name, that it's you that we'll be thinking of. No doubt, Father, when we consider these things, we think about what we will get out of them, and we get so much out of what you've provided here. But let us think mainly about, Lord, what we can give to you, because this is for your name's sake and not for ours. May you be glorified by what we do and not us. Lord God, we love you so very much. It's through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Before I get into the blessings of having the assembly and the living room, I do want to take just a side note and drop this in for you. For those who are traveling in, as I said moments ago, really glad that you're here today. I do want to let you know that the way we're conducting things at this point in time is we're having this assembly here in the morning, and then we're doing our Bible classes on Sunday evening at 5 o'clock and Wednesday evening at 7:30. For our college students who have come back in, normally what we would have done was started a college class for you tonight. However, tonight, we are kicking off what we often call in this August month our special series, where we have all of our adults and teens come together. And we thought that the topics that we were doing in this special series would be of special interest to you as students as well. So we want to invite you to be back tonight at 5 o'clock as those special series get kicked off. It's called Your Body Is Not Your Own. And tonight, Shane Scott is going to be presenting that lesson for us at 5 o'clock. It's called The Unraveling of Reality. And then on Wednesday night, we'll be continuing it. I will be presenting a lesson here at 7:30. All of the adult and teen classes, the children's classes will continue, but all of the adult and teen classes will be here in the auditorium. And I'll be presenting a lesson called Honor Your Body, Discovering Your Sexual Orientation. And so as we proceed with these lessons, we're going to have one on end-of-life issues, one on the transgender moment, and then also one on abortion as we go through this for the rest of August. So we would love for you to be here for that. Just wanted to let you know. So tonight at 5 o'clock, we're going to be doing that in here. Let's talk about the assembly and the living room. The five blessings that we have in the assembly and the living room. The first thing that we need to recognize is that in the assembly, we are reminded of the army. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, it points out that we are fighting the good fight of faith. As we continue in that good fight of faith, day in and day out, fighting the tempter, dealing with him at work, dealing with him at school, dealing with him in our homes, dealing with him in our neighborhoods, dealing with him in so many ways as he attacks and he fights, it can become easy to be discouraged. It can become easy to feel isolated. It can become easy to feel alone. It can become easy to think that I am the only one trying to do this. But when we gather together in the assembly, when we gather together with those who share our faith, who share our goal, who share our purpose, it is in this meeting, it is in this time together when the numbers, as many of them as we can get together, gather together and lift up our voices in song and in praise, hearing the word of God, that we are reminded, I am not alone. You are not alone. Look around you for a moment. Look around at the numbers who have gathered here today who are declaring, I believe in God. I believe he created the world. I believe that Jesus is his son. I believe that he died for our sins. I believe that there's something else that we're looking forward to. Look at this army who is ready to go to battle on your behalf. When we gather together in this assembly, we are reminded of the army. But in the living room, we are reminded of the family. In the living room, we are reminded of our family. When we want to get pumped up, when we want to be cheered along, the assembly is wonderful. But when what we need is that personal support, it's the family that we're looking for. And it's in the living room that we can fulfill 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, where Paul says, "Don't rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity." It's in the living room where we develop the relationships that lift us up and hold us up, that prop us up, that give us the support. It's in the living room where we can cry on one another's shoulders. It's in the living room where we can rejoice with one another's victories. It is the family that gathers together and prays together. Oftentimes here in the assemblies, we might share something and we get a wink and a nod and a promise. I'll pray for you. It's in the living room that we actually stop and get down on our knees and pray with and for one another together, as family does. It is a great blessing to have the assembly and be reminded of the army. It is a great blessing to have the living room and be reminded of our family. Don't you want that family? Won't you join us by signing up today for our house-to-house, being involved in one of those living room relationships? The second blessing, as we consider the assembly in the living room, the second blessing is that in the assembly we stand with one another in the presence of God. In the assembly, we stand with one another in the presence of God. As we sing our hymns, uniting our voices together to bring praise to God. As we sing to one another, edifying one another in the presence of God, singing those things that bring Him glory and build us up. As we pray and we call on God, it's in the assembly that we come together into the presence of God and lift up His mighty and His holy name. Now I recognize that the 350 that are here this morning, and honestly even the 10,000 that were together in Jerusalem, pale in comparison to say the 144,000 of Revelation chapter 7 and verse 4. And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. And even that 144,000 pales in comparison to the group assembled beyond number there in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." I understand, of course, that this assembly pales in comparison to that. And yet it is in the assembly, when we gather together to worship together, to glorify God together, to pray together, to remember our Lord's death together, it is here that we get a glimpse of what that will be like. It is here, as we hear the praises of God and consider His glory together in this group, that we stand in the presence of God. I understand. I understand, of course, that any individual Christian going into their prayer closet is entering the presence of the Lord. I grasp that. But won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful when, with all saints from all times and all places, of every tribe, every nation, every tongue, we gather together and worship God? And won't it be wonderful as we continue to look forward to that gathering here in this assembly, looking forward to that time, grabbing hold of as much of it as we can now, as we stand in the presence of God? That's the blessing of the assembly. In the assembly, we stand together in the presence of God. In the living room, we sit with one another in the middle of life. In the assembly, we stand with one another in the presence of God. In the living room, we sit with one another in the middle of life. It is the living room where we rejoice with those who rejoice. It is the living room where we weep with those who weep. It is in the living room and around the kitchen table and across the coffee table from other Christians where we're able to mourn the loss of a loved one and heal together. It's in the living room where we're able to rejoice for the victory of a child that has turned to the Lord and hold up one another. It's in the living room where we can cry together and hug one another because of a miscarriage. It's in the living room that we can gather together and celebrate because of victory over sin. It's in the living room where we find the shoulders to cry on, the counsel to carry on, the band-aids to keep on. It's in the living room where those relationships develop that help us deal with the backstabber at work. It's in the living room where we find the relationships that encourage us to carry on despite a spouse who's abandoning the Lord or a child that's causing trouble. It's in the living room that we can gather together and laugh and celebrate a job promotion or a new job or a graduation. It's the living room where we sit together in the middle of life. Don't you want that kind of relationship? Then can I encourage you? Be a part of one of our house-to-house groups. In the assembly, blessing number three, we celebrate what God has done for all of us. We celebrate what God has done for all of us. And that's really what we've been focused on in our worship today. As JT has led us in our singings, did you notice how each of the songs reminded us of what God has done for us all through Jesus Christ? Leading up to our time around the table as we participated in the bread and we partook of the fruit of the vine, and even extending on from there as we remembered what the Lord has done for us. Hallelujah! What a Savior! Can we say that? Hallelujah! What a Savior! In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're reminded that that's the purpose at heart for why we gather together, to remember what Jesus has done, our King and our Savior. For I received from the Lord, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25, 1 Corinthians 11. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. When we gather together in the assembly, we are reminded of what God has done for all of us through Jesus Christ, preparing us to go out into the world, to talk to our neighbors about that, to talk to our co-workers about it, to tell our family that has not given their lives over to the Lord about what Jesus has done. We gather together and we do it regularly because we need to remember what God has done for all of us. Come Saturday night, sometimes the week has been wearing on us. And we might think about giving up, moving on, taking another path. But here on the day that we call the Lord's, as we gather together, we are reminded that we serve an amazing Savior. Hallelujah. What a Savior. In the assembly, we are reminded of what God has done for all of us. In the living room, we celebrate what God is doing in each of us. In the living room, we celebrate what God is doing in each of us. You know, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, it tells us that we need to consider how to provoke one another, or stir up one another, or spur on one another, or stimulate one another. It depends on the translation you have. To love and good works. And there's no doubt when we gather together in the assembly and we open up God's Word and we hear lessons from God's Word and we read God's Word, we are challenged and we are provoked and we are pushed. But it's in the living room where it becomes personal. It's in the living room when we sit across the couch from someone and we ask, how are you doing with that? How's that working for you? I mean, we heard that lesson on Sunday. You doing okay with that one? Is that one impacting you? Did it step on your toes like it did mine? Did it encourage you like it did me? It's in the living room where we can get involved in one another's lives and we can take these things that we learn in the assembly and make them personal. So tell me about your job. How does this impact you in your job as your teaching school, as you're working at the plant? How's this working for you in your family, with your children, with your spouse, with your parents, with your siblings? It's in the living room that we are challenged and provoked. But more than that, it's in the living room where we get to celebrate the victories on all of those things. It's in the living room where, as we gather back with one another, having challenged and provoked one another and encouraged one another, that we come back together and lift one another up and are able to talk about and celebrate, yes, I'm making progress. I only yelled at my kids twice this week. But that's better. You know, last week was 5. Yes, I'm getting better. I talked to the person in the cubicle next to me about Jesus Christ. I don't know if they're going to come to church, but I talked to them. Yes, I'm growing. I told you last week it's tough. That lesson we heard, that was hard. But I've started applying it. And you know what? I've prayed every day this week. It's in the living room where we get to celebrate that. In the assembly, we celebrate what God has done for all of us. But in the living room, we get to celebrate what God is doing in each of us. Don't you want that kind of relationship? Can I encourage you to be a part of our house-to-house program? In the assembly, we share our resources for greater kingdom impact. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul wrote to the church there, telling them in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collection when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me." It is in the assembly that we gather together and are able to pool and share our resources that allows us to participate in God's work in many ways. It is in this assembly, as we gather together and combine what God has blessed us with, that we're able to help those who are part of God's family that are in need, whether here or in other places. It is because of our combined resources that we're able to send Andrew and possibly some others on trips to Tanzania. And for those of you who are our guests, what we learned is nobody actually knows how to pronounce the name of that country. Even when he went over there, they all said it differently. I had to add the Lee because otherwise Marita would say that was an adverb. They all pronounce it differently. So, on the way out, please do not tell me it's Tanzania. It's whatever we want to call it. But we can send him because we gather together and we share the resources. When hurricanes strike, and there's so little that each of us individually can do, but because of gathering and sharing, we've been able to help churches and Christians in all kinds of places in those kinds of scenarios. In the assembly, we can do that. And as the assembly grows, consider more and more of that kind of work that we can do. Spreading the gospel. Supporting evangelists. Sending out teachers. It's in the assembly that we share our resources for greater kingdom impact. But it's in the living room that we share our time for deeper personal discipleship. When we gather together in the living room, we rarely share those material and financial resources. That's not so much what it's about. But it's when we gather together in the living room that we spend our time with one another. Because I'll promise you, that's what this costs. House to house, living room relationships cost time. It takes time to hear someone confess their struggles, their temptations, their sins. It takes time to be there to serve someone when they're in need. And we discover that when we're involved in these living room relationships, it's not just living room relationships, it's also time in the kitchen together, preparing meals for those who need them. It's time in the backyard cutting the grass for those who can't cut theirs anymore. It's time on the rooftop cleaning out the gutters for those that we don't want climbing on ladders anymore. It's time listening to the tears and saying nothing sometimes. It's time to hear the celebrations. It's time to study the Word of God together. And proclaim the name of Jesus. And go along with someone who in your living room relationship has a friend that needs the gospel, but they're not convinced they know how to do it yet. It's shared time. Helping someone just grow as a disciple. Encouraging them in discipleship habits. Meeting with them. Provoking them and encouraging them and challenging. It's in the living room where we share the time for deeper personal discipleship. Don't you want that kind of relationship? And the fifth blessing, in the assembly, we are inspired to go higher. In the assembly, we are inspired to go higher. It's time to come together, to sing praises, to shout the name of the Lord our God and His wondrous work that He has done for us. To pray together. To encourage one another, to reach farther. To go higher, to do more. To get closer to God. This is not a pep rally. But at the same time, after we sing like we've sung today, aren't you pepped? Oh boy. Okay, let's try that again. At the same time, after we've sung like we've sung today, aren't you pepped up? Okay. I didn't think it was just me. It causes us to stick with the Lord, to draw closer to Him, to reach higher and farther and do more. But it's in the living room that we are challenged to go deeper. It's in the living room in those kind of conversations where we look in the mirror and we look at ourselves and we just talk to one another and we pull down the church mask and we talk about where we really are and what we really need. And sometimes they have to spur us on, and it can be painful as they jab that spur into our flank and push us back onto the Lord's narrow way. But it's there that we're challenged to dig deeper, to get closer to God in a spiritual relationship with Him and with His people. It's there that Hebrews 10:24 happens that we've already talked about. Provoking and challenging and spurring on. Certainly, coming here and being together with the assembly on occasions, weekly, maybe even multiple times a week, I hope, because we are getting together multiple times a week. Hope you're here. But I have found that it takes more than just gathering together and singing a song together and praying together and hearing a lesson and then moving on. It takes being involved in those relationships, talking to people who will challenge me, who will question, who will provoke, who will push. And so in the living room, we are challenged to go deeper. Don't you want to be a part of that kind of relationship? I know I do. And that's why what we're striving to do is work on both the assembly and the living room. And it takes more than having a deacon assigned and some leaders who have said, yes, I'll lead it, and some hosts who have said, I'll be hospitable. It takes brothers and sisters that realize what I need is the assembly and the living room. Sadly, there are some folks who make it an either-or game. There are some folks who say, you know what, all I need is the assembly. If I can just get together once a week, sing some songs, praise the Lord, that'll be enough to just pump me up and get me through. I don't know, maybe that is enough for some people. But they're not living in the same world I'm living in, because I know it takes more than that for most of us. But then there are other people that say, you know what, I don't need the assembly, I just need a small group. I just need a small group where I get to come together and just talk about what all's going on in my world and my life. And I get it. Those are wonderful. But if we don't ever have the time to come together and actually talk about how amazing God is in worship together, we're missing out. What we need is both. And so that's what we're working on. I want to encourage you. Brother Tim Fannin is going to have some sign-up sheets on those tables at the back. It's going to let you know who's leading, where it's happening, how often it's happening. I'm really sorry for all you guests who say, I want to be a part. I mean, if you want to drive back, that's fine. But for our brothers and sisters here, we want to encourage you today, make sure to be a part. What we need is the living room and the assembly. If you'd like to, you can put your notes away, your Bibles. When Stephen read our scripture reading earlier today, he started off by pointing out, you know, in the preceding verse, it points out that there were about 3,000 souls that were added to the church that day. Let's go ahead and back up one more verse while you're getting ready to sing this song. Luke writes, and with many other words, he, that is Peter, bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. When Peter said, save yourselves from this crooked generation, the response of the people was not to say, maybe next week. The response of the people was not to say, let me drop down on my knees and ask Jesus into my heart. The response of the people was not, I already believe, it's already taken care of. When Peter said, save yourselves from this perverse generation, the response of the people was to be baptized, immersed in water, dying with Jesus Christ and being buried with him, and then being raised to walk with a new life. And that's when they started working on the assembly and the living room. And we'd like to help you be a part of the kingdom, to be in Jesus Christ. If we can help you with that this morning, won't you please come forward right now as we stand and sing.